Hey guys, it's Sarah and Matthew.
Hello, hello.
What's going on? We are bringing you a throwback, flashback, all the backs.
Bringing sexy back.
Yeah, kicking it old school, as the kids say. Episode 2, can you believe that? Episode 2, our back and forth journey to deciding on home birth.
Yeah, this is a cool one.
It is, and I wanted to bring it back, and it's our back and forth journey. I wanted to bring it up just because it's a really relevant conversation for all couples out there deciding on their home birth plan, regardless of where you are choosing. But, you know, for us, it ended with home birth. But just how you can be working together to feel affirmed and supported within each other. And, you know, in our case, we were neither home birth, one home birth, the other not. And then so just all the twists and turns and nooks and crannies of that and how we came into alignment to, you know, be the most unified team we could be going into birth.
Yeah, because, so, you know, you as a partners, you aren't always on the same page from the very beginning. Right. That's okay. And so we talk about that in this episode. And I love the fact that this was almost 2 years ago.
Almost exactly. Yeah. And we know that because...
Well, because we mentioned the Peachtree Road Race
in
the episode. Yeah. And what's today? Today's July
6th.
We ran the road race 2 days ago.
Yes, I know.
So it's pretty cool. We can circle back around on this particular episode
2 years later. And I have to tell you, it's a lot different running 10K like that. One of the biggest races in the country, 7 months pregnant and then not. It's a little,
you kind of missed
it. Slight letdown. Yeah, for sure. We were running the other day. I was like, I kind of want my big belly back because it's a lot more fun.
You got a lot of attention. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great episode. I know you guys will enjoy it. And real quick, before we jump into that, have to give some love and shout out all the recognition to our sponsor of today's episode, and that is Milk and Honey Breast Milk Jewelry. So Milk and Honey does this really amazing thing. It's two mamas passionate about what they do and really want to work hard for their families, show their daughters what it is to work in passion and purpose, and they create handcrafted, custom-made breast milk jewelry, a thing that I didn't even know existed until a few months ago.
Me neither.
But by George, am I happy that I know about it now, because I actually checked the other day and I am completely dry.
Oh,
so
wow.
Weaning is done. There is nothing left in the tanks. And I was able to send off my sample of milk at the very tail end of this process. And so now I have my ring as a keepsake, as a memento of the breastfeeding journey, which we went just over 21 months.
Yeah. Oh, that's special. That's awesome.
It really is. And so they offer that for mamas. And besides breast milk, and by the way, mamas, if you are complete and you're dry like me, but you have bags of it in the freezer or anything like that, it does not have to be fresh milk. So you just send them in the sample, depending on what kind of pieces you want. Again, everything is custom made, and they even do custom orders if there isn't something on the website you're interested in. The website, by the way, milkandhoney.jewelry.
Yes.
Remember, that's milkandhoney.jewelry. And when you use the code DIAH, you get 15% off of your order. And so besides milk, they can use placenta. So if you have placenta capsules like I do, they can even use locks of baby's hair and incorporate that into the pieces. It's just amazing stuff. And I'm so happy that we were able to connect with them and bring their mission to our show and align there, because I think we have a lot of synergy between us as organizations and empowered birth and motherhood. So again, that's milkandhoney.jewelry. And again, use that code DIAH for 15% off your order.
Yes, go check them out. And now we will take you right into the episode.
Let's do it. Hey, I'm Sarah. When people asked me and my husband Matthew about our birth plans, our answer was simple. We're doing it at home. So this is a podcast all about our home birth journey. Hey, everyone. I am Sarah Bivens, and sitting next to me here is my baby daddy and goofy dance partner for life, Matthew. Matthew, how you doing today?
What's up, mama? Hi. I'm doing awesome. I'm happy to be here. I went outside this morning. I took the dogs out, and it felt like fall was in the air. Yeah. There's a little nip of fall, even though it's going to be like 90 degrees this afternoon. So I'm awesome because of that.
Nice. Bet you had a nice night last night too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we were doing it at home, weren't we?
We were doing it at home. That'll come in later episodes, but just in a short word or two, how do you experience sex with a woman who's 9 months pregnant?
Wow.
Not what you thought it could be, huh?
Absolutely not what I thought it could be. I think I never knew I would be so turned on by your pregnant body. And it's not like I walk around now and I'm out and I see other pregnant women. I'm like, damn.
Okay, because that definitely happens. For anyone who is listening that is pregnant or you're going to be pregnant, there are men out there who are very into pregnant bodies. And you will see the eyes kind of go up and down and you're like, oh, hi. Oh, no, this isn't for you. No.
Well, we're getting off on a tangent right now. No, it's cool because when we were running the Peachtree Road Race, you were getting a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs, and even more. I mean, folks were running up next to you and shouting things from the sidelines. So, yeah, it happens. And, I never thought I would be a guy who was super turned on by pregnant body, but something about yours, something about your lady lumps.
All right. Well, we will definitely get into some more juicy stuff like that in later episodes, but let's get back on track for what we are planning on talking about today.
Cool.
And what that is our journey to choosing home birth, actually, our decision-making process throughout that. And it kind of starts before we even got pregnant, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a journey that started just in those initial conversations and family planning and intentional work that we were doing to prepare for getting pregnant. So what do you remember about that time when we were deciding whether or not when we were going to become pregnant?
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So I remember, I mean, it is August right now. We got pregnant in
December.
What, in December. I remember conversations, I think in November, where we had talked about when we wanted to have kids, and we said, let's get pregnant in the middle of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
This was in November. And we were both cool with that. And then fast forward a few weeks, and I think the idea of having a baby was just marinating in our minds. Mm-hmm. And we were like, you know, I don't want to wait. You know, I may have said it, and then you were like, yeah, I don't want to wait either. And so we decided in December to go ahead and start creating a family. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, it happened fast.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, dude, it was like the first week of intentional lovemaking.
Yep.
And we were pregnant.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Exactly.
And at the time, I hadn't been thinking about the birth.
Right.
I wasn't thinking about like, are we doing a hospital? Are we going to do it at home?
No.
I think I just had the typical belief that it'd be a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I hadn't seriously considered anything else, and I hadn't seriously seen anything else in TV or movies or things I'd read. It was always just hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my first inclination when I took the home pregnancy test was, okay, well, we go to the OB, we go to my gyno, and we confirm the pregnancy, and then we mm-hmm. just go from there. And without taking any other sort of measures to explore anything else or have conversations with people outside of those appointments, we would have just kept rolling with that. I mean, we went to 3 or 4 appointments before we you know, diverted our plan. But without looking into any other options, that just would have been the route we went. You know, like there, you just don't think of any other potentials initially.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think to the principle of consciousness creates and how you and I are very big believers in that and we align with that. So yes, I see how we could have gone down that route, but I think we were always destined to home birth because we put people in our lives who, when we became pregnant, those conversations opened up.
Sure.
And we put ourselves in situations where we had the opportunity to be exposed to new possibilities. And so I remember, you know, some of your clients at the gym, I think it was Liz, who was talking about having a midwife friend or a doula friend. And some of the women in the community are doulas and or who have been at home births. Right. And so these people were around us and these people are close to us and, you know, we have intimate conversations with them. So I think we created the home birth well before we even began thinking about home birth because of who we were hanging around. And I think our spirits were drawn to them for a number of reasons. One of them being they do things naturally and powerfully. And that's how we wanted to bring baby Maya into the world.
Sure. I think you make a really great point there. You know, getting a powerful context for home birth and what it was and is for certain people around us, like you said, who had experienced that themselves. Yeah. You know, a couple of people who were actually born at home. So,
that's true.
You know, a lot of people don't have resources like that or don't have people they're intimately connected with to have those types of conversations. So I think that really did empower, I know for me in particular, as the woman, you know, as carrying the baby in those OBGYN appointments, and I'm sure it empowered you as well, to have those open, honest conversations with him that we were thinking about other options once we started to think about them.
Yeah.
And I can see how that would be a super intimidating, scary process to, you know, be with this doctor. You know, for many women, that's their OB that they've had for years, or that's someone who was like their sister or their mom's. It may even be the person that delivered them. So there's this perceived pressure that you need to please in this scenario that involves you and your body so intimately and so,
be loyal to them.
Right.
I'm sure it's
right,
like some people feel.
Yeah. And feeling like you can't voice that you want something different or you don't even know what you might want because you haven't been given that option or you haven't been told what the other possibilities are. So that really empowered me to go into those conversations. And you remember we let him know what, like day two?
I think it was a second appointment we let him know. But I do remember you having to like put your big girl pants on to go in there and say that. Like,
oh, sure. I had a little bit of, you know, heightened pulse and my heart was beating a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
It was nerve wracking because, you know, in our OB in this case, he wasn't somebody that, well, he wasn't who you went to for some of your like the gynecological visits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So you had a relationship with him
a little bit, but that's a doctor I saw, you know, once a year for the 2 years we've been living in Atlanta. So,
but that means that you can identify with people who have some sort of built up rapport with the doctor going into the conversations about, hey, listen, we're considering something different, and like you said, we had that conversation with him on the second visit. And what I appreciated about that is you were very honest. You know, we had discussed what we wanted and you were very honest and upfront with him about the fact that we were looking at other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he appreciated that because he was then in turn very honest and upfront with us.
Sure.
That it was his professional stance that you do not do a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was, you know, he didn't work with patients who were choosing home birth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool because it was two parties who were thinking different things, both being very, what's the word? Kind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very like mature.
Sure.
Very, there wasn't any animosity. He didn't feel salty towards us. We didn't feel pressured by him. It was just like, hey, this is what we're feeling. And he said, cool, here's where I'm at. And we're like, awesome.
Yeah, it was a really great situation. And the way I remember describing it to him, I was not surprised on his stance. I kind of anticipated that, but I could respect it.
Yeah.
And I feel like because of the way the communication was open, because we were very firm in who we were being, you know, we kind of reached a point where I remember saying, you know, I feel like we understand each other, even though we don't agree.
Yeah.
And that was huge to be able to have a mutual respect and understanding, but we don't have to agree. And I think he respected us a lot in turn through that process because we were just so open and transparent about where we were at. So, and he was an awesome dude. If he would have been willing to do home birth, I think we, you know,
yeah, he probably would have stuck with him.
He was awesome. So we really did have an amazing experience, I would say, despite, you know, not completely seeing eye to eye. But as far as that situation could have gone and how it did, I feel like it was very smooth and very magical the way that it turned out.
It was smooth. I'm appreciative of that because it had the potential to not be that smooth. And I imagine that's a lot of people out there who are contemplating home birth or who've brought it up with their doctors, haven't had such a pleasant experience bringing that up because maybe they have felt pressured and all this and that. And so, yeah, I mean, we were fortunate. I think that we did some preparation beforehand. You and I had some very real conversations about it. We talked about, you know, what our fears were. We did a lot of our own research. Mm-hmm. By that point, I think it was by that point, you had set up a number of calls with midwives and doulas. Like, we really spent the time and energy to learn about our options so that when we did have the conversation with him, we were firm in what we were, in our stance that we were exploring. We were somewhat educated on it. I mean, it was still new to us, but we were, you know, learning and discovering things. And you and I were on the same page. And so, having done the research, having been firm and having had communication between us helped when we went into that setting to talk to, you know, our OB at the time. So I think that's a great thing for you listening. If you're preparing to have that same conversation, you know, do your research.
Absolutely. And what that made me think about is be very clear on what it is you want to experience and embrace and be at peace with what it is you want to experience. So some of the biggest things that started to alert me that maybe hospital was not the route for us, I didn't want to be hooked up to monitors. I didn't want the fluorescent lighting. I didn't want to be lying on my back. And these were all things that were very huge possibilities if we were to go with home birth. And even if everything was going beautifully and smoothly and I didn't need to be hooked up to any drugs or monitors, you know, which he said was a possibility, you know, even if they did let me walk around, there was this huge looming thing. He may have not even been there because he was planning a trip around the time
we were going
to deliver. So let's say I made all of these plans and made all of these visions with this doctor, and then a new one shows up on the day of birthday, and it's like all that goes out the window. So I knew, I was very clear that I didn't want that. And so then that shifted to what I did want. And I think it's more powerful to be clear on what you do want. Mm-hmm. But for me, the signals were just what I didn't want. And that's what started alerting me to then moving towards what I did want. And I did want mobility. I wanted peace and quiet. I wanted my own setting. I wanted to choose who would be there. And, you know, I wanted to be drug free. So that was what I wanted. And so that would be one of my biggest recommendations to anyone going through this process, no matter what they end up choosing, what facility, is to just be very clear on what you want and your vision for that day.
Yeah. Cause it's about you.
Yes.
It's about baby. Yes. It's about, you know, the couple and the family. And mm-hmm. so make it about you.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing selfish in that. And so we did the OB thing for a little while, and we went to maybe 3 or 4 appointments. And then during that time, we were also researching, like, where else can we go? What are our other options? Mm-hmm. And so we started to I think, soften our stance of non-hospital options. So we went from traditional hospital setting with a couple of accommodations to a non-traditional hospital setting. So it's kind of like hospitals that had more of that holistic vibe, mm-hmm. you know, hospitals where we could walk around and eat things and do all this, but you're still in a hospital setting.
Yeah.
And those were few and far between.
Yes. Very, very few options there.
Yeah. And then we started looking into birthing centers. And I remember thinking that a birthing center sounded like a great in-between. Like, it was, there were, it was like a medical facility in my mind. It's like a medical facility. It's clean. It's sterile. There's trained people there. I don't even remember if they actually have doctors on staff, but they're probably affiliated with a hospital very close. And yet we still had some of the home comforts. We could still, you know, walk around and sit on the yoga ball and be in a shower because they're set up to accommodate for people who want that sort of non-traditional thing. So we looked into the birthing center and what was it? It wasn't even built yet.
It was in process. It is at now open, actually.
Now
it's
open.
The Atlanta Birthing Center. And I think it's an amazing addition to options here in Atlanta for women who want more of that type of experience, but maybe just aren't as drawn to home birth. But it wasn't open at the time.
And you had connected with...
I had connected with someone there and I was interested in it. But just as that was happening, I also got connected with who are now our midwives.
Yeah.
And that just like flowed effortlessly. And that just kind of took off. Whereas, you know, I wasn't entirely sure on where we were going to be at with the birthing center. So that's just how it unfolded.
And what just popped in my mind was sort of my thinking, my thought process, and my level of comfort with anything outside of a hospital. So I had tons of fear about doing anything that wasn't in a hospital.
We both, I think we kind of passed the baton at different points on who was more scared of what scenario before we eventually got in alignment, but we both kind of ping-ponged.
Yeah, I mean, and my fears were like, well, what if something happens?
Sure, of course.
What if this happens? What if that happens? What if we need this? What if Sarah goes into that? What if the baby and like all of that shit, all the what if stuff? And I just remember like even thinking about going into a birthing center at the time was like, oh, really, this is huge. and it's so funny being where I'm at now, so aligned with home birth, so excited to be welcoming Maya in our home, in her home, that it's hard to put myself back in that place. But I totally remember feeling very anti anything other than hospital, simply because I was very ignorant at the time to some of the I guess realities of birthing.
Right. Well, it's a lot of what we're programmed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in mainstream media, and you see just the hospital as the only option. Or if you do see any sort of home birth or holistic or alternative birthing situations, they don't look as inviting. Like, they kind of seem like weird or
it's a mistake. Like, I went into labor and I'm in the kitchen. Crap, I gotta squeeze this baby out of my living room. Like, it's not intended.
Yeah, they're not planned. They're not planned for the women who didn't know they were pregnant.
Yeah. So I remember that. But then we started looking into the birthing center. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you said we were also talking to doulas and midwives, and we got introduced to the midwives who are now our the midwifery group, which I think that's such a cool word to say. Midwifery.
Midwifery.
Yeah, say it with an accent. Midwifery. All right, anyway. The first conversation we had with them, I remember walking to their office, their home office, pulling up in the car and judging the crap out of it.
Because it was just out of someone's home.
It was the converted back half of someone's home into an office, and being like, okay, this is all of the thoughts that like I thought my mom would be, you know, pumping in, or your parents would be pumping in about that's where you're going to be giving birth. Or not there, but those are the people. And I thought them all. And then I remember sitting down with them, and like immediately from the very first interaction, it was different. You know, we hugged them.
Yeah.
And there was three of them.
Yeah.
There was the midwife and the two, what are the assistants?
Apprentices.
The main midwife and two apprentices. And we walked in the room and got huge hugs from all three. Big smiles, which our OB was very kind and
very congenial, very warm.
But then we started talking and it was like, what questions do you have for us? Mm-hmm. Here's typically how we do things going through. And then an hour later, yeah. We're like wrapping up. And I mean, all four of our OB visits were probably 45 minutes total time with him.
Right.
Across
waiting
four visits.
A lot of, yeah.
And we had an hour with the three of them. And I was like, okay, this is different. And I like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this. And I want to say after that first visit, I was like, we're doing home birth.
Yeah, we were sold. We went home. We slept on it. Quote,
we slept
unquote,
on it.
Just to, you know, let the air settle. And we called them up the next day, I think. And that's a huge piece. Just the contrast in experience as a patient and
yeah.
as a woman and as a family. Because you've been to every single appointment.
Yeah, all the OB appointments, all the midwife
appointments. And all the midwife appointments. To go from maybe taking an hour total to be at the doctor's office and see him for maybe about 7-8 minutes of that whole time, to then shifting to a full hour with multiple people, not only doing the things that he would do, you know, checking on how you're doing physically, but how are you? What's yeah. going on? You know, how are you feeling emotionally? What's going on with the family? What's the plan for the birth? Like, how do you see this? Have you thought about this? Are you doing this? It's really this guided support system and network along with your prenatal care, which we would see them once a month, I believe, for the first few months.
Yeah.
And now we're at a stage where we're going to see them every week.
Yeah. So it was once a month. And then when we got to like month, what, six or seven, I don't know. It became twice a month. Mm-hmm. So every other week. And then now we're seeing them weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll actually be coming over here tomorrow.
Yes. To check out the house.
To do the home visit. So, yeah. And, you know, I'm aware that these are very different setups, very different the way that it's organized, hospital versus midwife, and hospitals, they have to operate the way they operate just based on the patient load and the time frame that doctors can spend with patients and the amount of charting and just make sure that you got your T's crossed and your I's dotted and all that stuff. And all of that contributes to the amount of FaceTime you get with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my dad's a doctor, mom's a nurse, so I'm not... this isn't new for me, you know, going through that. So I say that because I want to make sure that I'm not just saying, oh, the doctor didn't have all the time for us and the midwives had all this time for us. No, I realize that that's sort of how things work.
Sure.
But I do remember the feeling that I had after that first midwife appointment that was like, yeah, this is what we're meant to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what you said, that holistic experience, like they covered everything. And there was so much time devoted to just what do we want to ask,
mm-hmm.
you know? And of course they had their you know, agenda that they were going to go through and tell us about these different things and ask us questions. But so many questions about, you know, how have you talked to your parents about it? What do they mm-hmm. feel about it? Like, how are you feeling? I mean, it was awesome. It was really, you know, having done 4 months of OB visits, to shift it up and be like, wow, okay, mm-hmm. this is different. This is cool. And it really aligned with just how we do things.
Mm-hmm. It really is a process about creating that space for a connected, trusting, intimate relationship with these people who you're going to welcome into your home. They're going to be all up in your most intimate, delicate parts and helping you usher forth this new human, launching this life form
yeah.
from you. So it's really about that relationship building. And like you mentioned, we switched, I think we were around 17 or 18 weeks
okay.
when we switched over to the midwives. And, you know, for anyone listening, it's never too late to switch over.
I mean, they've had
women in their third trimester switch over if, you know, they realize that that's what they want to do. So
switch over meaning like you go for 6-7 months with an OB
mm-hmm.
and then month 8 or month mm-hmm. 7, you're like, you know what? I really want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Sarah's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, the midwife group that we're working with, they've had people who've gone 6 months with an OB and have changed at the, you know, the last minute to their group. Like, it's never too late.
And that's what I think has been so powerful about moving into this home birth experience for me, is really setting the tone and affirming for myself
that I have the ability to choose what I want to experience and say yes to certain things and no to certain things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great lesson to start learning now in this pregnancy stage, especially now going into the next stage, which is where another little human needs you for everything 24/7. And you can kind of lose sight of what you want and voicing that and articulating that. But I think home birth moms get a really great opportunity to practice that throughout pregnancy and going into that magical birthing experience, you know, this date with the universe, as the midwives like to put it. And I just love that phrase. I use it all the time now, my date with the universe. But really being at peace and emboldened and empowered to share what it is you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And home birth moms and parents have so many opportunities to practice non-judgment and compassion and what to do when people are dumping their fears on you and all sorts of stuff, because home birth is not traditional. It's how things were done back in the day.
Yeah, it's the most traditional and non-traditional.
Yeah, but like, you know, in 2016, it's not. I mean, I think I was looking up statistics earlier today.
1% of the U.S.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of babies. There's a lot of people in the U.S. That's still, number-wise, that's a lot of people. But as far as percentage, that's pretty small.
Yeah, it's small. And however, I imagine the number of people who've considered home birth is a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talked out of it.
Dissuaded,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So as I was saying, like, home birth parents just have amazing opportunity, yes, to communicate what they do want, what they don't want, but then also to just be compassionate towards other people who don't understand, or to rep non-judgment themselves when people are throwing judgment at them, or to approach things with love when other people approach them with fear. It's been such an amazing training ground for me. You know, and I'm excited to get into some of those in, I think the next episode we're going to be doing is about...
Yes, pushbacks.
Yeah.
You receive when you share your news that you're going with home birth. Matthew mentioned that training ground. It is a awesome opportunity to reaffirm for yourself why you've chosen that, and gives you even more opportunities, like you said, to rep patience and understanding and to educate some people. You know, I think a lot of times those fears and that pushback comes from just a place of not understanding and maybe looking for a way, as best they can. Sometimes it doesn't come off lovingly, but looking for a way to understand. And if you can be that person, if you can be that source of patience and understanding, you know, some people might get edumacated.
Yeah, I know you've edumacated a couple of folks, and but that's the next episode. And
yes,
you know, for this episode, just to wrap things up, I mean, our journey to home birth was an amazing one.
Still ongoing, which makes
still
it
ongoing
even cooler.
Yeah, because we are at week 30, middle of 36 right now. So baby Maya is still cooking, and so it's pretty cool that we're recording this, you know, the beginning of this podcast is pre home birth.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's pretty fascinating.
So you get to hear it before and after. And we want to hear from you too. We want to hear your stories, your questions, maybe about our home birth journey that we shared, or to share part of yours in your decision-making process, whichever option that was for you. We want your involvement. So connect with us. We're on Twitter at DIAH podcast, and you can shoot us an email if you want with any of your questions or comments at DIAH podcast@gmail.com. So it's Doing It at Home Podcast.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear people who have contemplated home birth and just how they're feeling going from the more traditional birthing ideas for, you know, hospitals and things like that. And just what they've come across when their research or questions they've had, reach out to us. Let us know. We might be able to point you towards some resources, or, you know, we'd love to share your story on the podcast as well. So like Sarah said, DIAH podcast@gmail and at DIAH podcast on Twitter. And yeah.
That's all for today. And we'll just be here hanging out, doing it at home.
Awesome.
Ooh.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.